We'll be going to Deuteronomy chapter 11 shortly, also to 1 Kings chapter 16. But the title of our lesson tonight is, "And Be Not Conformed." Conformed, it means to adjust to fit, alter to fit, modify to fit, adapt to fit. In other words, to conform is to make one fit to something else, i.e., second layer of shingles on a house. When it's being reshingled, it will conform to the original shingles that are still up there. Some 900 years before the birth of Christ, Elijah the Tishbite burst on the scene declaring that there would not be dew nor rain 3 years. The reason being due to the idolatry of Israel. The 10 northern tribes, which had separated from Judah and Benjamin about 70 years earlier. And we'll be going to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13. "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I have commanded you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And when the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask during this time in which we must meet via Facebook and other means, we ask, Lord, that you would protect our church, that you would bless it, that you would keep us safe. Lord, we pray that your people will take the time to find a way to be taught the scriptures. And Lord, we just ask now that your hand be upon this time together. And we ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. We find that when the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit. At this time in history, the Jewish history, Ahab is the king of Israel, and Jezebel was his wife. And as we mentioned earlier, we'll be at 1 Kings chapter 16, and let me read you a few scriptures from there. 1 Kings chapter 16, beginning at verse 30. And it says, "And Ahab, the son of Amri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." If you had been in the Bible for any length of time, you know the story of Elijah challenging the prophets of Baal and of the groves to a duel between the Lord Jehovah and the gods of Ahab and Jezebel. The winner would be the God that answered their prayer by fire. And as you do remember the story, the prophets of Baal built an altar and put their bull upon it after having it cut up. And they prayed to their gods and they cut themselves. And Elijah stood by their side just kind of mocking them. And then we know that he himself would then, at the time of the evening offering, he would build an altar and he would put his bull upon it. And you remember the story. He even put water on the sacrifice to make it even harder for the fire to light. We find in chapter 18, verse 21, that Elijah challenged the people. And may I challenge you today to remain faithful to the Lord, even though we're in quarantine and even though we can't get together like we would like. May I challenge you, remain faithful, because other gods can quickly come in and take the place of our Lord and Savior. But it says in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, and it says, and Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And so you see the scene that we have the battle going on, as it were. Now, really, it was not a battle, because it was really only one-sided, because Elijah knew that Baal was not a god, that he was just something people served because they could see him. And sometimes sight makes it easier. And then it was time for Elijah to pray, and we'll begin reading that prayer in chapter 18 and verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. Now, this was a great victory. But unfortunately, Elijah felt alone. He felt like there was no one else there that was helping and serving the Lord. And yet the Lord was going to reveal to him that there was 7,000, or may I say there were 7,000 in Israel, who had not bowed the knee to Baal, and they had not kissed him. May I say this, there are times that we may feel that there is no one else out there serving the Lord faithfully. May I say this, there are. And around this country and around our world, there have been people that even this day have served him faithfully. In the book of Romans now, if you would please, chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. And we're going to find the words from where we get our lesson title tonight. The fact that we are not to conform to this world, that we are to be different. And it says in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In the Hall of Fame chapter of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, we find that Abel did not conform. and it cost him his life. We find that Enoch did not conform, that he walked with God. We find that Noah did not conform, but that he walked with the Lord and was faithful to him. That Abraham, again, did not conform. Joseph did not conform. And if you have the time, turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read briefly about Moses and how that Moses did not conform to this world. May I say this, that there are thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people in our world today that have not conformed to the world but are following after the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's read about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll begin reading at verse 24. And it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. To remain faithful to the Lord sometimes is hard. Sometimes it's going to be difficult. And we know that down through the years, many have been put to trial because of their faith in the Lord. Let's think about this for a moment as we turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, and of course we all know of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three men who refused to conform, who were willing to stand when all else bowed. And it says in Daniel chapter 3, beginning at verse 4, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso faileth, and whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now we know the story. Everybody had been told, when the music plays, you just simply bow down. And for most people, that was no big deal. But to these three Hebrews who knew the Lord, Jehovah, they were not going to do it, even though it would cost them dearly. We continue reading in verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, they were saying they haven't conformed. They're not following the rules. Well, the fact of the matter is, we're not to conform to this world. Let us continue reading verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, Nebuchadnezzar is saying to our three Hebrew children, now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar figured that since he was a mighty ruler, that he was more powerful than any God that the three Hebrew children may have. And verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We are not going to bow down just because you say we have to. They would not conform. Chapter 6, if you would, and we remember here the story of Daniel and the fact that he was also put into a very tight situation that could cost him his life. And we begin reading at verse 4. And the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Isn't that interesting that his testimony was such that the only way they could find something was if they were going to do something against his God? We continue. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. And the presidents and the kingdom, of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, Darius should have thought, what in the world are you talking about? They can't ask anything of their God, but only of me? Wow, he should have been on guard right at that moment. But verse 8 says, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. He did it. Now this is going to put Daniel in a very uncomfortable spot. Does he conform? Or does he stand for his God? Notice verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. We know that he was then cast into the den of lions. Of course, the story is known that he was not eaten, and he survived because the angel of the Lord came and shut the mouths of the lions. But he didn't know that was going to happen any more than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that they were going to be saved from the burning fiery furnace. But the fact is, they would not be conformed. But we are told there in the book of Romans, and let me read it again to you, verse 2 of chapter 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, keep your mind where it needs to be. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. The Apostle Paul knew that we were easily seduced by the world around us. The allure and the attraction can often be overwhelming. The glitz and the glamour draws us in. The prime example is the casinos and the lottery world. They offer us so much. Little do we realize that the casinos are almost guaranteed to take your money, and the lottery obviously the same. The marketing of products by seductively dressed models. The use of Hollywood stars smoking in TV programs in the 50s and 60s and in advertisements led a generation of people to smoke. And you know, the fact of the matter is that we are easily led astray because someone looks cool doing it. Pastor Ron Williams, founder and director of Hepzibah House, a home for struggling young women, writes, "We are feeling oriented. We are feeling oriented creatures who can be easily distracted from a righteous way of living. The God, small g, of this world, being a keen observer of human nature, which he has observed over thousands of years, knows precisely how to appeal to our fallen nature. Our enemy, the great deceiver, knows how to trick us, to deceive us, to pull us in. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Satan knows how to use the lust of our flesh and the lust of our eyes and even pride to make us go in the wrong direction. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Again, Brother Williams writes, every person born again or lost must recognize we are fully capable of becoming slaves of our fallen nature, unquote. Our fallen nature can easily be charmed and fascinated by the wrong lifestyle, be it pornography, immorality, gambling, the love of money, prestige, the list goes on. And we can be easily charmed and we can even convince ourselves that what we're doing is okay. It's not hurting anybody. What's hurting us? It's hurting our relationship with God when we fall into sin and when we put other things as our God. Also, wrong lifestyles can be easily become habits, jealousy, bitterness, anger, greed, revenge, racism. These are all things that can take over our lives. Brother Williams reiterates, the devil's world is absolutely saturated with a myriad of temptations. If I could ask you right now, text me a temptation, we would have no problem in talking about temptations. And many of this world succumb to as many as they can afford and that are of interest or available to him. In today's world, so many things are so available and we must be on guard. Some imbibe at the devil's banquet table of fleshly pleasures to the point of exhaustion, collapse, and spiritual ruin, and even death, unquote. Noah was considered to be an object of ridicule, curiosity, and abuse because he chose the path of obedience to God. He did not conform to that society that God said, I am going to destroy. He walked differently. And may I say this, we need to walk differently no matter what the situation. As we found in Meshach, and Abednego, they would be viewed as foolish because they would not bow down to the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. And yet they did the right thing. And we would say they did the right thing. But the question is, if we were put in that position today to do right or to go along with the crowd and do wrong, would we stand alone? Would we be willing to do even as Daniel, who was willing to remain faithful to his God, even if it meant being thrown into the den of lions? May I say this, the list goes on of men and women who, not willing to conform to this world and to the false religions of society, were imprisoned, tortured, and or martyred for their faith. Not willing to be conformed. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, Peter uses the same word as Paul did in Romans 12:2. except now instead of conformed, it is translated not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Not fashioning yourselves, not looking like the world, but being different. To wit, as a responsible, spirit-controlled believer, do not live as you once did or as you see others living, but allow the Lord to lead you in the paths of righteousness. Psalm 23, verse 3. In conclusion, to be part of the godly remnant is not for the faint of heart or half-hearted. You know, it's easy to be a believer on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, but what about the rest of the week? What about the rest of the time? Are we willing to remain part of the remnant that serve the Lord faithfully? Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. It's a verse that I hope you have highlighted in your Bible, or if you use a tablet or your phone for your Bible, that you highlight verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, we are to be transformed and not conformed to the world. We are to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Not being conformed to this society requires a full-hearted dedication to the cause of Christ and a willingness to suffer scorn and rejection to this world systems and its adherents. During this time in which we have not been able to meet at the church building, I've been in contact with a number of pastors and talking about the fact that we hope that our people will remain faithful, that they will seek out the scriptures, and that they will be involved in the work of the Lord, even if it means in a much less limited situation. Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Folks, we are to remain faithful to our Lord. We are pilgrims just passing through, and we are to be different. The pilgrim's trail is often solitary, challenging, and replete with pressures. But let us be like Abraham, who, according to Hebrews 11:10, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And as a closing prayer, we read to you from the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.